For those of you who heard me say that youth is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, erase that from your minds. It's at 6:30. They're meeting here. They'll be going to Aspen, so come at 6:30. There's a man who lived on the first floor of an apartment, and there were people living above them. Have you ever been in that situation where you had people living above or below you? And so what happened was, every night, the person living above them, when they were about to go to bed, they do this. Every night. Finally, the guy in the bottom had enough. He got his broom. That's what brooms are invented for, you know, to bang the ceiling of the person that lives above you. So he bangs in the ceiling and he says, "Enough with the shoes!" So next night, the guy living in the second floor, he's going to take his shoes off again, and he drops one shoe, and then he remembers, "Oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this anymore." So he gently puts the other shoe down, and it's quiet, and the guy below him is thinking, he's heard one shoe, nothing. Finally he says, "Can you drop the second shoe already?" We are not the ones that get to decide when the second shoe drops. This is God's job. Let's pray. God, with all the brokenness in our world and our lives, we are glad and comforted by the fact that you are in control. We want to surrender our agendas and desires to control all the outcomes. We know you are good, and this is where we rest. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in Mark 4, 26 to 29. Oh, Ernie, you're fast. It's up there. Here we go. He also said, "The kingdom of God, as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep, rise, night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produced of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle, because the harvest has come." We're in the season of Lent, which is 40 days before Jesus' resurrection, which is approximately 6 weeks. In this time period, we're trying to create some space for the heart. Often in our full lives, we do not have much time to ponder on things that are going on inside of us, even to understand what is happening or how to sort it out. We are looking for opportunities to still our hearts, to be able to pray, but also to pray for others and to have others pray for us. We come with open hearts, longing for the Spirit of Christ to fill us with himself. He assures us that we are loved, that he has walked every step of this journey with us, and will until he comes again. Through Lent, we're focusing on this new kingdom that Jesus is bringing from earth as it is in heaven. And this kingdom is like nothing this world has ever seen before. Usually in our world, those who have the power force their way down the throats of everyone they rule over. Do this or experience loss of what you own. Do this or get thrown in jail. Do this or you will die. But in Philippians 2, 7 and 8, it says, Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Why did Jesus do this? He came to show us a new way to live in him. This is crazy. Who gives up their position of power or authority to humble themselves like a slave and even giving his own life? Under the old system of power and violence and position, you'd be foolish to stick your neck out. always dominating or being dominated. In God's kingdom, we're called to lay down our ambition, our possessions, our very lives, because what he's offering is infinitely superior to anything we've ever experienced before. There's nothing in this life that you could possess that comes anywhere near what Jesus brings. He does not coerce or manipulate or control you into his kingdom. You get to choose. But be forewarned, it'll cost you everything that you presently hold dear. He wins us one heart at a time. And he does this through his incredible, unconditional love. If you were the only creature to exist on this planet, he would have died for you. Once we experience his love, we have love for those around us that we never had before. To grasp God's kingdom, Jesus is using parables, which were often stories of common events his listeners would have been very familiar with. Many agricultural imageries, or fishing, or finding lost items that were valuable. Mark 4, 26, 29. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, the head, and then the full grain. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle because the harvest has come. So the people of God have been waiting hundreds of years for God to come and establish his kingdom, as the Old Testament prophets proclaimed. In the 400 years between the Old and New Testament, all was quiet, was silent for 400 years, until Elizabeth became pregnant with John the Baptist and Mary became pregnant with Jesus, and the angelic proclamations of these events would change the world history forever. Has anyone ever promised you something, but then it never really happened or came the way you thought it would or should? I remember being in junior high in grade 7, and a teacher said, we were invited to a ball hockey tournament. Okay, I'm just putting this out there. If you ever get invited to a ball hockey tournament, you've made it in this life. But we had to be quiet in class and do our work. He waved this carrot in front of us for a couple months, but what he promised never became a reality. But now, out of the silence, comes John the Baptist, shouting, repent and get right with God, because the kingdom of God is at hand. John says, I'm preparing the way for the one who's coming after me. And who is that? It's Jesus. Now, there are two big problems. The first is, the Romans are still in power, with their boots on the necks of those living in Jerusalem and all around. If the Messiah has truly come, will he not lead us to victory and bring us freedom over our hated tormentors in Rome? And the farm we grew up on, we grew wheat, barley, and oats. Today, many people grow grain, canola, or even faba beans. We would plow the field and then sow the grain with the seed drill and the tractor, and then we'd wait. Many of you do this with your vegetable gardens each year. You rototill your plot of dirt, you plant your seeds, and Jesus says, this is kind of what the kingdom of God is like. Someone scattering seed on the ground. After you plant your seeds of peas, corns, pumpkins, cucumbers, well, that's if you eat vegetables. What do you do after you plant them? Do you go out every day and sing to the seeds? Do you tell them some good jokes or a long story? Do you encourage them by showing the pictures to them of what they're going to look like or become when they grow up? No amount of human effort can make the seed miraculously grow into a plant. Verse 27, the farmer would go to sleep and then wake up and go to sleep until one day something is happening in the field or in your garden. The seed would sprout or grow. There are three stages to the story. First the planting, then the waiting, and finally the harvest. Why does the middle part, waiting, take so long? It seems like so little is actually happening. Mark 4:27, it says, the farmer doesn't know what happens. The farmer is not the cause of the growth. Why do you grow? Why do your carrots grow? There's an element of faith and mystery that goes into things. Gordon Smith, in his book, Wisdom from Babylon, he says, it is prayer that sustains our capacity to trust God, to do what only God can do. Those who have been waiting for the kingdom of God to come and are surprised. It is not what they thought it was going to be like. Instead of triumphal victory on a white horse, Jesus teaching his followers to love their enemies and not kill them. This last week I was talking to my brother-in-law, and I know somebody who's working on one of the islands in Greece. And the island itself has just been completely integrated and overrun by foreigners fleeing for their lives. And he said, you know what the people of Greece want to do with these foreigners? They want to kill them. And he said, for some reason in Greece it became so affluent to grow olive oil, they don't know how to grow anything else. That's all they grow there is olive oil and export it. And so they got a piece of land on this island, and they're growing vegetables. And they're giving hundreds of pounds of vegetables every year away to these people who are there who don't have a home. The people of Greece want to kill them. People want to kill people all the time. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. In Mark 6, after Jesus feeds the 5,000 with loaves and fishes, they try to take him by force to make Jesus king. But instead, Jesus withdrew to the mountainside. This new kingdom was not moving fast enough. This kingdom he is bringing is in the spiritual world, and it's hard to always see the changes immediately in the physical. What if the farmer would have waited a week and without seeing any signs of growth, plowed the field up and seeded again? It would have been completely frustrating. Have you ever planted something and no matter how long you waited, it never grew? Secondly, not only was the kingdom coming in a peaceful way by faith, it was not coming fast enough. Have you ever waited for something for a long time? The right job, the right relationship, for a baby, for friends, for Christmas to come? It's hard to wrap your head around the fact that the Messiah has finally come and he's walking on this earth, but not much seems to be happening. Some healings, some miracles, demons being cast out, and transformation of lives, but it is slow. For those who have waited like forever. This is a good start for the kingdom of God's rule, but if this is all there is, it's disappointing. Even John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who's in Herod's jail awaiting execution, sent some of his followers asking, Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Or should we be looking for someone else? Mark 4:28. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, the head, and then the full grain. If you decide that your new job was to watch the beets grow in your garden day in and day out, it would be a very tiring job. It could raise doubts in your head. Did you plant the right seeds? Or did you have the right soil or the right nutrients? Or are you giving it enough water, too much water? Was it getting sun? Have you ever heard the phrase, a watched pot never boils? It can be like that when it's slow at work. The clock seems to have stopped. When I worked at McGavin's and there were days with less customers, it made it feel like it was slow motion. In Mark 40:29, the end of the parable. But when the grain is ripe, at once it goes with the sickle because the harvest time has come. For those who were feeling that this new kingdom of God was moving at a snail pace, they were not seeing all that was happening behind the scenes. From the Jesus Film Project, they say this kingdom will grow almost inconspicuously in the midst of the other world's kingdoms. 2 Peter 3:8-9. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. It'd be silly for the farmer to start harvesting before the grain was ripe. More than likely, the harvest here is pointing to the day of judgment, when all people, every tribe, tongue, and nation, will stand before him to be judged. Ecclesiastes 18:23. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die? Says the sovereign Lord. Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. When Carrie and I lived in Revelstoke, I've said to you before, I ran a raspberry plantation. But we had friends that had plum trees. And they didn't have plum trees, they had the purple plums. Those are the best plums, by the way. And so one day, I convinced somebody to give me a plum tree. And I planted it. I didn't know at the time that you probably should have two plum trees, but whatever. 3 or 4 years, nothing's happening on the plum tree. So, Carrie and I move here. And when we're leaving, there's a plum on the plum tree. Did I mention a plum? It was green and was never going to ripen. Success at last. So we move here. So now you're looking at 12 or 13 years again. The people that bought the place didn't care for raspberries or plum trees. Imagine wilderness. So this last summer, I go to Revelstoke, and I'm at my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's place, and they're a stone throw away from where we used to live. Now, of course, we lived on a mountain. And some things I didn't anticipate is the mountain became a jungle since I was last there. And I'm going to go see if this plum tree still exists. So I should have had one of those, Raiders of the Lost Ark when he's cutting through the jungle. That's what I need climbing the mountain. Eventually, I got to where I thought the plum tree would be, and I looked and looked, and you know what I found? Plums! There are plums in that plum tree! I felt like, the children of Israel are going to the promised land. I need a pole to carry my plums out. And so I have to tell you, I collected plums on that mountain, brought them down, and put them in my car so I could take them back here to show my wife that there were plums. Things don't always work on our timing. But God has a way of planting things in our lives and world that bear lasting fruit. The creator of the universe is continually at work in our lives and our world, even when it may not be clear to us. Gordon Smith again. It would make a substantive difference if we actually consider the possibility that our situation is providential. God is the one who started his kingdom. He'll bring it to fruition and bring it to its completion. David Wenheim. Jesus not only sows and inaugurates the kingdom or begins it, but he also is the one who will bring this process to completion with divine judgment. If we're following Jesus, looking for a result-based business, we're probably going to be disappointed. God There's not enough healings. There's not enough changes going on in our culture. There's not enough movement in our families. We want to see bigger and better evidence, and then maybe more people might believe in you. Just like 7-Eleven stores, they went from gulp to big gulp to super big gulp. Why can't you do more of that, God? When things are not going well at work, when things are not going well in your relationships, when things are not going well at school, have you ever thought of just quitting and walking away from the whole thing? I'm just going to say this as kindly as I can. That would be dumb. We are like the seeds the farmer planted. And I'm sure glad we didn't get dug up when we didn't produce anything right away. He has patiently allowed us to grow up and mature. And this has been a long process. The kingdom that God is building in us, around us, is not a microwave. God is not in a hurry with you, with me, with our neighbor. There are some people that you've loved and cared for and prayed for, and it doesn't seem like much is happening from the outside. Don't be discouraged. Have faith in God's incredible, subtle kingdom and his loving pursuit of all people. In many ways, the mysterious kingdom of God is at work even when we cannot see the results. What is happening underground will eventually become visible. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What he starts, he brings to completion in you, in me, and through our world and the lives of others. David Garland says, God's purpose will be fulfilled in God's way, and God entrusts the secrets of those purposes only to those who are willing to trust him despite unpromising appearances. We trust that God is working in the world, but will not always be able to measure its advancements. James 5, 7, and 8. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Let's pray. God, we are trusting that you have the whole world in your hands, and your plans and timing are the best plans. Give us patience and peace as your kingdom comes and grows in us and around us and through us. We know that everything that you are lasts forever. And we long to see the advancement of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're comfortable, please stand.
through rain. We've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You parade truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south. Sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all.
I have a couple announcements, benediction, and they'll sing one more song, you'll be dismissed. Just a reminder, youth at 6:30, you're meeting here. Things that are coming, of course, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. And what I'm encouraging you to do is create some space in your life for God to be able to speak into what He needs to speak into you. He loves you. He's walking with you. He cares what's happening to you. As well, if you want prayer today, there will be people in the back corner. You could find them, and they'll pray for you. You know, we were not meant to do this life alone. And you know what? This life is hard. Things have happened to all of us that we never dreamed would ever happen. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that those who are patient, that those who stay in there, we'll finally see the kingdom come the way that we all long to. Amen.
Please stand.
We'll be all right if the Lord is on our side. We'll be all right if the Lord is on our side. We'll be all right if the Lord is on our side. And the Lord is on our side. For we now belong to our Savior Christ the Lord. For we now belong to our Savior Christ the Lord. For we now belong to our Savior Christ the Lord. And we live for Christ the Lord. We will overcome, for the Lord is our strength. We will overcome, for the Lord He is our strength. We will overcome, for the Lord He is our strength. For the Lord He is our strength. We'll be alright if the Lord is on our side. We'll be alright if the Lord is on our side. We'll be alright if the Lord is on our side. And the Lord is on our side. We will sharpen up the sword to cut down the devil. Sharpen up the sword to cut down the devil's snares. We will sharpen up the sword to cut down the devil's snares. For the Lord is stronger still, and the victory is ours. For the battle is the Lord's, and the victory is ours. For the battle is the Lord's, and the victory is ours. For the battle is the Lord's. For the Lord has overcome. We'll be all right. For the Lord is on our side. We'll be all right. For the Lord is on our side. We'll be all right. For the Lord is on our side. And the Lord is on our side. We'll be all right. For the Lord is on our side. We'll be all right. For the Lord is on our side. We'll be all right. For the Lord is on our side. And the Lord is on our side. And the Lord is
Have a great week and a great St. Patrick's Day.